Shut up and sit down.
This is Off the Walk.
I was reading an article a few months back that really resonated with me. And that article was on the model minority myth, and that writer is our guest today, Florence Huang. Florence, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's been an honor to be part of your show.
And thank you for coming on. So now, model minority is something that I have definitely, it's a stereotype that I've definitely experienced while growing up, but I actually did not know that there was a term for this until actually recently. So Florence, for our listeners out there who don't know, can you describe what model minority myth is?
Well, the term, from what I've done a little bit of research, it came about in the 1960s, really more in America than Canada, but, you know, we're quite closely linked. So when the Chinese were coming, you know, in the 1800s, the Chinese were really seen as a threat, like a yellow peril was kind of what they dubbed us. But in the 1960s, like, the Chinese were sort of seen as model citizens because of their hard work ethic. And, you know, it sounds like a good thing, right? You know, you're a model minority, like, you should try to achieve. But really, if you look at what it means, it's like pitting against the minorities, you know, like, oh, there's a status ranking, right? You know, like, we're better than, like, say, the blacks or whatever, fill in the blank, you know. So it kind of pits it against each other. And that's a little bit of how it came about. I'm not a history expert by any means, but this is sort of the basic understanding. And then it just sort of perpetuated, like, over the years. It just sort of carried on. And it's just still remnants, you know, today with that idea.
I see. And it's funny because you would think that it's something that's, because it's in a way, it's like a positive stereotype, and people, you might be wondering, hey, you know, that's a good thing to be called that. So like, oh, okay, you're supposed to be good in math and all that. But in reality, it's not, because I feel like it does put a lot of pressure on us to have to be, okay, we got to be the top of our class now, because automatically everybody just assumes that, oh, okay, just because you're Chinese, oh, or you're Asian, you're going to be great at math, you know. So,
which is not the true, like, at least in my case, I was not great in math. I had to really work at it, but yeah, like, it does hurt, you know. It does, as you say, sound good, but when you paint any group in one brush, you know, like, everyone is smart and everyone is whatever, it actually is more damaging, because it doesn't recognize the nuances and the diversity of people in whatever racial group you're talking about, right? So this is something, you know, that is detrimental. And, you know, like, in my piece that I had written, I was addressing the mental health issue, you know, like, for me, it caused social anxiety. And, you know, just because even though nobody told me, like, okay, you have to be smart, it's in the media, right? Like, you see in the movies, you think, like, the nerdy kids and, like, all this, you know, these stereotypes, right? And even though it's not said, and, like, my parents weren't super strict in saying you have to get all A's, I mean, you know, like, thankfully they weren't, like, that didn't help either. You know, if you had parents who were really traditional and, you know, you got to bring honor and you got to do, you know, be the top of your class, there's that too. Perhaps that feeds into that, the model minority myth as well. So, it's a hard thing to grapple with, right? Like, it seems good, but really when you dig deeper, it's not necessarily, you know, healthy. So,
yeah, I definitely think that, like, you know, I mean, although, like we say, it's somewhat of, like, a positive stereotype, but it doesn't truly represent all of us, right? Like you say, I'm not smart in math either. It's it's quite a difficult subject, but yet, you know, when you watch these shows, we're like, you know, these, you know, mathematicians and whatnot, but not all of us are like that. And a lot of times, we are supposed to be like doctors or like, you know, like the you know, really highly educated and whatnot. But I mean, you know, I wasn't myself. So it puts it, like you say, it adds on that extra pressure. It's just, is it good? Is it bad? I don't know. But I think what we're trying to get at is that, you know, the thing about saying that we're all smart, that's not really the case, right?
Not really, no.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I don't know how many times I've been, the amount of times that I've been in school and whenever I struggle like with a math problem or something, and then the person tells me, "Well, you don't know this, but you're Asian. You should be amazing at this." And I'm like, nah. I mean, I don't know about you. So my academic career, should I break down my academic career right now and show you, to let you and all the listeners know how far from this stereotype I
think
veer
yeah,
off.
Yeah, let's see. Let's hear it.
I mean, okay. So there was a point where apparently I was semi okay in math, right? In my elementary years, to be honest, you know, because I think my mom had forced me to learn the multiplication tables before I started, I can't remember, like grade one or grade two or something like that. So when they actually started learning the multiplication tables, I already knew it. But that wasn't because, like, that was just because my mom was just forcing me every day. Okay, tell me the number, tell me the five. How does that go? Five times one is keep, and then the next day, let's go with six and a seven. That was just me doing memorization. But I mean, after a certain while, elementary school is okay. Grade seven, that's when it started really going downhill. Failed grade nine math, had to go summer school. High school was even worse. Failed almost all my subjects. And then in grade 12, managed to finally work extra hard just to get into university. But while in university, was on academic probation twice. So it took me 7 years to finish university on just one degree. So, and I think even my career at the university, I started off in, like, I don't know, natural sciences, couldn't take it, moved into communication, took a lot of courses in there and then moved into another art, like faculty of arts or something, to finally graduate. It was ridiculous. So I can 100% say that stereotype is way off. Okay.
Yeah, I so. Think, yeah, this, I mean, thankfully I had a father who had a math major. So, but he, okay. So he helped. I mean, honestly, he helped me through calculus and stuff, 'cause I was really struggling with that. So,
so I wonder, like, is there, like, do you think, like, our parents had some of that influence, and why we maybe somewhat kind of still continue to think of that as, okay, you know, even as our generation is like, okay, well, we need to be smart in math, or we need to know, I don't know, some type of martial arts because we're Asian, you know, or something like that. Is that what, like, has our parents as well kind of perpetuated that and kind of like, hey, this is actually how we should be because that's how everyone sees us as. So we should be like that. What's your guys' thoughts?
That's a great question. That's a great question. I don't think they're thinking of the minority myth and perpetuating it. I don't think that's where they're coming from. But I think they're coming, you know, Chinese and other Asian cultures are Asian, or sorry, Chinese and Asian cultures are honor and shame based. So I feel this whole idea of honor is sort of more prevalent, and it can manifest as pressure to do well because you want to save face, you know, the whole idea, you got to look good. You only present what you're good at, like that, this, but you, so it's, they don't want to show weakness, right? So perhaps they're not intentionally perpetuating it. I don't think so. Like, especially if they're not even aware of the term, like a lot of, I mean, this is still a relatively new term, right? And, you know, like, they mean well, right? Like, they want their best for their children, like most parents, right? They want their children to succeed and go on. But anyway, yeah, I don't know if this is answering your question. Like, I don't think it's intentional perpetuation of this model minority myth, if they're even really aware of that, you know. But it does kind of, I think that's where it came from, though, right? The whole idea, like, that you have, you want to do well, and you're trying to, you just keep your nose to the ground, you just, you know, don't make a noise, don't rock the boat, right?
And yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah.
I have to wonder, like, you know, so this is a new term, right? Model minority. And, you know, would this same stereotype, if we went back to, say, like, China, would we, if we asked somebody, hey, you know, are all Asians good at math? I wonder, like, would that exist over on that side? Or is this just, you know, strictly a North American kind of thing? I don't know.
Like, I don't think I've ever, when you went to China, did you was everybody great at math over there?
The thing is, when I went to China, I know that, like, you know, even here, like, I don't know, typically Asians are, you know, I guess we, how do you say, like, not, I want to say, I don't want to use the word like obedient, but like we listen and we kind of don't try to cause any troubles. And that kind of mentality still exists over there, that, you know, they don't want to cause any trouble and whatnot. But I mean, in terms of math, I don't know. I didn't really ask any math questions because I'm not good at math myself. So I couldn't tell if that was the case.
Actually, yeah, that does raise an interesting question. Is that model minority only, what does that pertain to? Is it mostly just the academics, or is it... Like Florence, what do you think? Does it pertain mostly to that, or is there other aspects? Is it like the hard work, making lots of money?
I think it is all part of it. It just happens that the most common stereotype is in academics that we see. But I think, yeah, like, you know, it doesn't just end when you graduate from school, right? It's like, okay, do you, are you getting a good job, a good paying job? Is it a reputable job? You know, are you a doctor, a lawyer? Are you prestigious? Are you, you know, are you getting married into a good family? Are you, you know, having children? Are you raising them right? Like, it just seems endless. But, you know, like, it is very performance based. And it's just the whole look, you know, it looks like Keeping Up with the Joneses, but maybe in this case, the Wongs, or whatever the common name you want to use, you know? So I think it's typically tied to the academic, but for sure, you know, like, people who are star, I don't know, they're not usually athletes, but you know what I mean? So, like, that they really shine, and like that they make bring honor and bring pride, right? That you make your parents proud, I think is sort of the basis of it.
I agree. I mean, we've had some conversation with some athletes, and I mean, when they had their chat with their parents, athletics was not the top of their mind. It was like, oh, okay, you can do this little hobby thing here, yeah, but make sure you still become a lawyer or something,
or a doctor, like, yeah.
Exactly,
yeah. Do that in your spare time when you actually have a real living kind of thing, right? Like, yeah.
Exactly. So then in your case here, because you wrote an article on it, wanting to kind of talk about how your childhood was growing up, like, what prompted you to want to write about this?
Well, it was actually with May, the month of May, it was Asian Heritage Month, and I wanted to, it got me thinking about Asian, like, the whole idea of mental health and mental illness. Like, I'm working on a project, my master's project in journalism here at the University of Regina, and I'm dealing with, my topic very broadly is Asian attitudes towards mental health, mental illness. So then when I was thinking, and part of my research actually surfaced this whole concept, like, I had never really come about it, and I'm like, this is really interesting. But it didn't quite fit in my project, but it's still kind of like stuck in my mind. And I was like, okay, there's something here. And then I was trying to come up with an angle that was not overly done, because, like, lots of people write about what it is, you know, which is fine. But I wanted to tie a mental health or mental wellness aspect into it, or like the toll that takes on the mental well-being of Asians. And then I thought about my childhood and thought, wow, yeah. I was a really anxious kid. And then I just thought, okay, but it just felt it was timely in terms of, you know, the whole anti-Asian sentiment going on, like all these things, there's just way more awareness, I feel. Right. And I just thought it was the right time to talk about it, you know, and I'm like, I'm sure I'm not the only person who feels this. And, you know, some people actually, there was quite a lot of feedback from on my Facebook with my friends, like from all over the country. And some of them saying exactly what you're saying. I was horrible in math or science. And thankfully, their parents were not pushing them into that field. But, and then again, right, it's not the stereotype of all parents are going to be like tiger moms or whatever, right? And so it really, I feel this would opened up discussion that I didn't really anticipate, but I just wanted to sort of share, put it out there and just see, like, especially with mental wellness and mental health sort of coming into the forefront, I felt it was, yeah, a good time to talk about it. So that's kind of why, how I came about it. Long-winded answer, I apologize, but that's how I came.
It's okay. that's what we're here for. It's all good. So then you had mentioned like the social anxiety part right here. So when did you first start experiencing this, and in what type of a situation or scenario did this really first start to happen that you remember?
Well, I was in elementary school, and I just remember I hated class participation, and I really dreaded it in university, you know, when they got like, okay, participation is 10% or your mark or 20%, and if you don't say anything, you'll get zero. And like, okay, that adds more pressure, first of all, like, you have to say something. And first of all, I'm an introvert, like I was way more introverted as a kid, just really, really shy. My first language was Cantonese, but then I picked up English eventually, so that didn't help in the beginning when I was, you know, not quite familiar with English. I mean, Sesame Street can only get you so far. So, you know, but I think it became more evident when I was sort of like grade 5, 6, you know, when you start to like, you have to like, okay, we're doing these assignments. It's not that I didn't do the homework. I mean, I did my homework, but I just didn't want to like say an answer because I didn't want to look stupid, and I wasn't sure if my answers were right, and I just was very, I just wasn't confident. And then just I felt like everyone was, you know, would judge me, right? Like, and it was probably way worse than, like, in my mind than what really would have happened, but it's just this self-consciousness, this pressure on myself, and like nobody pressured me, it's just me like, okay, I don't want to mess up or look stupid. And that's kind of where it came about. And I just, it would just be this buildup of anxiety, and it just, my heart would just be like pounding super fast. And I just be like, not quite sweating, but yeah, like you just like dreading. And it just is when I escaped, you know, a class and there was, you know, I wasn't called on, I would just like breathe a sigh of relief, you know, like, okay, I escaped. Nobody's, you know, and like, I didn't, you know, it was really hard. Yeah. So I guess it just built up, you know, with this expectation, and and I wasn't, you know, being introverted did not help at all. Just, you just want to like hide in a hole. Right. So that's how that really started in elementary school.
Elementary school too. Cause that's pretty young. And I guess that stereotype already existed. Like, so were kids already coming up to you and were they like, hey, you're probably good at this. Can you let me know what the answer is? Or can you help me with this? And then you're still, I don't know anything about this. I'm learning just like you.
No, I don't think anyone really did. Although interestingly enough, in high school, there's this one girl, she was trying to cheat off me in chemistry, and I was struggling in chemistry. So I don't know, like, I think I saw her trying to cheat. I don't think she's successful. I'm like, she would not have done well if she cheated off me. So there you go. There was another stereotype. I'm not good in science. You know, so at least not chemistry. So. But yeah, like, it's not, I don't, like, honestly, I don't feel that it was like that kind of stereotype. Like, I unfortunately did get, you know, the called names, like, because I was Chinese, like in Saskatchewan, in the prairies, you know, there's just not a lot of us around, at least back in the day, right? You're like the only one, or maybe there's another one or two. But yeah, being called Chinaman, and like, honestly, I thought, okay, I'm not a man, and I'm born in Canada. So I was just like more confused. I was really not offended, actually, which was a good thing. But yeah, they would call me these names and stuff like that. So like, I felt that. But in terms of the minority myth, like, I did eventually do well in school, but like, I don't know. I feel my sister really, she was like, the teacher's pet. She didn't want to be the teacher's pet, so she actually has kind of like the opposite experience of me, or like very the other end of the spectrum, where she just did well and the teacher just happened to like her, and then so she was being ostracized, right, with her classmates, you know, because, oh, she's teacher's pet, and she just wanted to fit in, like, and I just wanted to fit in, except we were like on different things, like we wanted the same thing but it just looked different, right? So depends on the person.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. That was something that I was going to touch on as well, too, because this whole, because you're being treated like this, and it almost seems like the teacher's playing kind of favorites, almost like that. Did other people kind of resent that and start hating you or your sister? Maybe your sister talked to you about it and was like, everybody seems to hate me or something. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm literally just doing my work.
Yeah, like, she did definitely feel like that. She, I don't know if they necessarily resented her, but for sure she definitely felt a divide, right? Like, she just felt that, oh, like a little bit like, oh, she's a smart kid, don't talk to her, like she's, you know, that kind of feeling, right? Like, where they wouldn't associate with her because she was seen as the teacher's pet, even though, like, teacher's pets, she wasn't looking for it, let's put it that way. She just it just happened to fall on her, so to speak, right? Just because she you know, she's good at school and stuff, which is fine, but anyway, yeah. So she definitely actually, she told me this story that I think she got the highest mark, you know, in your grade 7-8 you get awards, you know, for top mark in subjects, right? So she actually did not want the attention, and she was just like, please don't call my name, please don't call my name, you know. So it was kind of like, she should be proud, right, of this, but instead she's feeling this shame, which is ironic, you know, that you think you'd be happy to get this kind of award, but she actually wanted to shy away from the spotlight, so to speak. So
she needs to just fail a couple tests, you know, just drop it down a little bit.
Well, I wonder, maybe sometimes you would think that maybe in order to fit in, you know, people actually do that to say, well, I'm not that smart. Look, I failed this test, but they actually did it on purpose to, you know, to kind of fit in, right? So,
well, I mean, yeah, but, maybe to show that they're human, right? Like, maybe that's why, you know, people go, oh, there's that model minority myth, right? Like, because you're like, well, you're perfect. And that's the fallacy in the whole honor shame thing, right? That you got to look perfect, right? So it's kind of a catch 22. So
and I often, like, I wonder about that, because it's like, well, my parents were immigrants that came here, but you often think, like, maybe that's why, because we're trying to fit in, so, you know, we want to do good, we want to show people that we're smart, that, you know, like, go back to the honor, right? It's that, you know, that we don't want to disgrace the family, so we want to do the best that we can, and we don't talk about the bad stuff, right, that happens. So you know, maybe that's part of it too, because we're just trying to fit into this Western society, and that's been, you know, brought upon us because we are different, right? We are not, you know, we're Asian. So maybe that's part of it as well, into that myth.
Yeah. It also doesn't help that many of us are put into, you know, doing instruments and stuff like that. Like, that also doesn't help. It reinforces that whole, okay, you're going to be doing this, and then who cares about athletics? You're going into, what do you want, piano or violin? Take a choice.
It's I had piano. So.
You got piano? I think most of us got piano, right?
I know some that had both. Like, I have a friend, like, her mom put her in piano and violin, and I remember, like, after summer vacation, she'd complain about, oh, my mom made me read all these classic novels and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. Super, super, you know, like, a lot of pressure from, you know, I won't name her, but anyway, so.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because, like, in your case, your job obviously right now doesn't involve really much math, right? It's you're in journalism and all that, so which is a completely different field, maybe a bit different than what your parents expected of you, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're, I don't know, at what point where you're like, okay, you know what, I'm gonna go into journalism, which it might not be as like high paying of a job as like a doctor or something, but I'm going to go into this because this is my passion. I don't know what your parents said to that.
My mom, like when I got into journalism, like my undergrad is at Ryerson in mm-hmm. Toronto. So I got in there, and when I got in, my mom was like, are you sure? She's like, because, and I don't think it was a matter of doubting my ability, but she knew how shy I was. And I think she was just, I don't know if she was, I don't think she was disappointed. I think she was just concerned because I was so shy. She's like, how are you going to be a reporter if you're like quiet and like not say anything? But the irony was when we were growing up, she would tell my sister and me, you know, you can do anything you want when you grow up, you know, like, you know, very women's lib kind of thing, right? And but when it came down to it, like, but then I mean, so my family wasn't as traditional as, okay, you have to be a lawyer, you have to be a doctor or a dentist or whatever. Like, they never put that as a rule. But it was an interesting reaction my mom had. I still remember that. But you know, you learn and you grow and you develop, and you know, like, I still love the media field and I'm still in it. That's why I'm doing a master's in it. Yeah. And like,
good for you.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. For sure. Like, I can just imagine your, yeah, like your mom, you can be anything you want. You're like, I'm going to be a journalist. Well, hold up. Yeah. Let's just.
Any one of these five categories.
I love my mom, but like it's funny because a lot of it is unsaid. If you realize growing up in a Chinese or Asian home, right? You're like, there's a lot of things and you don't know it's wrong until you do it wrong. And then you learn, right? It's like.
Exactly. And, you know, when you were talking as well, when going back to the whole anxiety thing, did you yourself experience, or did you see some of your friends, some of your Asian friends or so, maybe in universities or so, start to kind of like break down a little bit because of that stress of having to be, to perform, to be a top A student, to be a top, whatever they got to do, they got to be the top of their field or it's like a failure. Did you see any of situations where it kind of harmed them physically, mentally, and they were just like, they just broke down or something like that? Because I know that we've heard of a lot of instances, but I don't know if you've seen it any personally yourself.
I don't know if I've really seen like people break down per se, but I know for sure I could tell when they were stressed. Like like when I was in Toronto studying there, yeah, like I hung out with a bunch of, well, there were more Chinese people there anyway, so we hung out and we studied, but yeah, you could, it was palpable, you know, the stress that they would go through. And some of them, like, were from Singapore and Malaysia. They had been in Canada since they were in high school, because they would, you know, parents would send their kids overseas because it's prestigious, yeah. Right, so they're basically growing up raising themselves, right? So
yeah,
they may not say it, but you can like visibly sense their stress, right? When they're like, you know, maybe they were slightly silently breaking down in front of me, I'm not sure, but you could definitely feel the pressure that they felt, the weight, because, you know, their parents had put, you know, invested in their children to start a new life in a new country, right? Get the education they need, then sort of parachute back to their homeland or wherever and, you know, yeah, have this prestigious or, you know, more valuable or whatever you call it, education, because it's overseas, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Like the parents want to be like, hey, my son or my daughter went to this university. This is, you know, they want to, and then you on the one hand, you're like super stressed because you know you gotta be like, oh, I gotta graduate, I gotta get an amazing mark or something like that, and all that. You know what? It almost kind of reminds me of it's what's happening right now at the Olympics with Simone Biles, who she just recently kind of she didn't like. I don't like the circumstances of like how why she didn't participate in a certain round of Olympics because her mental health and. I don't know much about gym. I don't know anything about gymnastics, really. But I know Simone Biles. So this is how well known she is. Like people, like I don't watch any of it, but I know her. So the amount of stress that's being put on her by, I guess you know, the nation,
yeah.
gives you that stress to the point where she had to get out because it was just. It was just causing her so much anxiety and all that. And this is kind of like that, in not exactly the same, but it's kind of like there's some similarities between the two. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. You know, part of my research is, you know, I looked into Confucianism, just, you know, I'm not going to bore you with like anything of his teachings, but you know, the whole idea of filial piety, right? Filial right. piety, as you know, Lance mentioned, being obedient to your parents is one of the relationships, parent-child. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's that idea of family, honoring family. But in the Chinese culture, you know, family is not just your parents and your sister and your brothers, right? You know, it's your
yeah.
grandparents. It's yeah. your great-great-grandparents. It's all your clan. Like, it's everyone in the village. Like, we're so that, in a sense, is like this nation, right? This yeah. clan, this whole group of people that you're putting their reputation out on it's at stake, right? This reputation of whatever last name you are, this whole thing. So I don't think people realize that weightiness of mm-hmm. of the honor shame idea as well. And again, trying to fit in, you got to make a life. They left China, which unfortunately most at that time when people were leaving was at war. It was very poor. So they were willing to endure like horrific conditions, right? You know, working in laundromat, in the restaurants, in railway, like they literally were not allowed to do any other jobs other than these jobs, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot riding on them. And the thing about, which I really admire about even like my ancestors is that when they came to Canada, they had nothing and they knew they were not going to like be paid in their lifetime. They were looking at their children's children and mm-hmm. so on, because they're looking for their whole family future. And like yeah. it's the whole collective we idea of the Chinese culture, right? Which is I think why people find it hard to understand mm-hmm. the Asian perspective, you know, because you're like, oh, you know, well, in Canada or Western culture, like, okay, I don't feel like doing it, well, I don't do it, you know, like, oh no, it's way more complicated if you use that Chinese lens, right? But anyway, I don't know if this is really making any sense. but speaking, yes, circling back to your point about the whole weight, say, of Simone, you know, feeling that pressure, I feel Chinese have this. And because culture is never explicitly talked about, like, growing up, your parents don't tell you, okay, other than be proud to be Chinese. It's like you just grow up with it. I feel it's like culture is like wallpaper or air. You just breathe it. It's in the background, but you really don't know how it plays until you start to analyze it, right? So that's kind of, I'm just like thinking that's how it is, right? Like it's just part of what it is and we don't question it, right? So
yeah no, I definitely like, I mean, I even for me growing up, definitely there was lots of times, you know, because I didn't go to university, so you know, a lot of times well, not my parents were pretty supportive, but the rest of the family, they wouldn't mention that, right? Like they wouldn't say anything, and then they don't ask you anything about school because they know that, you know, although I went to a post-secondary, it was in the university. So, you know, a lot of times like, oh, this, you know, there's, you can definitely feel that weight and how they look at you, right? Like you, as a kid then, you know, it was like, oh no, I'm not good enough now for the family because I didn't go to university. And I could have went to university and just took anything. You know, that would have been great, right? You didn't even have to be like engineering or being a doctor or anything. Just, hey, you are in a university, right? So I definitely can resonate with that, you know, just having that feeling of this weight behind you, having to be something, right? Because everyone is looking at you like, no, you have to be someone, right? And I guess the first steps is to get a degree, right? And it doesn't matter what kind of degree, but get a degree and then you're golden, right? And then work your ways up. Then we'll talk about how much money you make and what car you drive or what house you have, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, it just gets overwhelming, you know, to a certain extent. So I can definitely feel that if there are still people out there that are going through that. I think as you get older, you kind of realize, you know, it's not a big deal, right? Although I put a lot of pressure on my kids now to, like, you better go to university, all right? You don't want to turn out to like this Eric Wu guy. No, I'm just kidding. No, I think we're like the second generation will look at it in a different light, right? Especially now that we're talking more about mental health and all of this. Like, I mean, I think talking about like 10, 20 years ago, mental health. You know, when you say mental health, you would think like, you know, are you bipolar? Are you, you know, other types of, you know, mental illnesses? But now we're talking about other things, you know, like stress related. It's a lot more complicated than what it is, right? And I think if when you're in that, when you're a teenager and you're going through this phase of having to, you know, try to figure out which direction you want to go in, it can be stressful, right? Because you just don't know, like, am I supposed to be a doctor? Am I, you know, what am I supposed to do? So there's definitely a lot of stress that is in there, but I guess that's life.
And I think it's also okay to be able to fail at something, because I think when you fail at something, that brings upon another set of, like, I guess, factors that you can learn and grow from. Because someone who's never failed and are trying to achieve that, because if they do fail, they might just like boom, like drop to the point where it's dangerous, essentially, right? Because they keep thinking that they're amazing or something like that, and then something happens. So I think it's okay. Like, I mean, for me, when I failed my first test, I was devastated. But you know, after my 10th one, I was like, whatever, man. I was like, what? It's all good. But you know, Lance, you brought up a good point because you have kids. And Florence, do you have kids as well?
Well, I have stepchildren. One of them lives with us. Yeah. And so he's a 14-year-old boy, going to grade 9. So I don't have, no, I don't have biological children of my own. Oh. So yeah, there you go.
That's all good. And Florence, when you're talking to your stepson there, and you're like, what type, like, obviously you maybe don't want to have then again, your parents were a bit more liberal, not as like crazy, like you said, Tiger Mom, but what type of kind of lessons or so are you putting on them? It's like to make sure that they don't have that pressure or something. Are you telling them, you know, it's okay to like, you know, you got a D, it's okay, you know? So it's not like you A plus or get out, you know what I'm saying?
Well, strangely, the school he went to, or I don't know if this is just Regina, but they don't have grades in grade 8. What? Like, it's really weird. It's this weird system. No, and like,
you guys all pass.
That's no grades. Got an A. It's like levels. Yeah, like there's no A. It's more like different levels of competency, I guess. It's really strange. First of all, just to let you know, my stepson is not Asian at all. So it's like, it's totally different. But I feel I find myself trying to like get him to study. And I feel like this tiger mom coming out of hiding. but I don't, you know, I have to hold back because I realize I'm a stepmom. I'm not his actual mom. So it's a very different kind of relationship, obviously. But, you know, I do try to encourage him, you know, like I don't have the expectations of him to be whatever, you know, the because his personality is just more easygoing and like he's not like super studious. He's smart, don't get me wrong. It's just he's the youngest, first of all. So that just kind of he's a little bit, you know, so he could work harder, but you know, he is a teenager too, so you got to cut him some slack. But you know, it's I don't try to pressure him to be like, you got to do certain. We do, though, try to have some serious talks to go like, okay, you know, in 4 years, you're going to be out in the real world. You got to start thinking about what you want to do. So like that, we have sort of that talk, but it's not like you have to be whatever. Like, it's just more like, no, if you got to figure out what you want to do and how can we help you get to that point, you know? So it's very different. I don't know. And this is not a Chinese context too. My husband is Canadian and, you know, my stepson is Canadian. So very different. And it's very, yeah, like it's interesting to see the different approaches. Cause like my husband's like, yeah, you know, he would like him to do well, obviously, but he's not pressuring him. So it's just a very different approach, you know, to you know, education and things like that. And I mean, we do still have obviously similar goals and hopes, right? You know, like parents do, if we're still like typical parents that way. But yeah, like I never say, you know, you have to be in science or whatever. Like, it's just, he's just trying to find his way, right? Like, what did we know when we were 14? So like,
yeah,
you know,
I knew nothing. like nothing. And no, that's good. Like, Lance, I don't know about you. Are you similar vein, or are you kind of like, okay, you're, you know, girls, you're 9 now, it's time for calculus, you know?
you know, they're not quite 9 yet, but you know, right. When she gets to that age, yeah, it's calculus, all the way. No, I mean, I think it's a little bit different. But you know, and maybe we go back to the you know, that the model minority, right? Is that, you know, for me anyways, right? Because I grew up in Alberta, right? So, you know, I was faced with a lot of racism and whatnot. But, you know, you want to be able to say, you know, to your children, like, hey, you know, well, we want them to fit in, right? We don't want them to face the same kind of things that we went through. So with the racism, you know, I think it's getting better. But again, you know, I'm not saying that we have to fit that, that role of the model minority, you know, try to do what you can. And I think it's the same, right? Just try to find what they love to do and try to help them excel in those levels. You know, because forcing them, isn't really going to help, right? In any means, right? I mean, we understand the importance of, education. We just need to find the right ways to get them to learn, right? And that's the key, right? As I think people want to learn, but they want to learn, like, you got to find different ways, because everyone learns, I think, in different ways, right? Some people are good at just reading a textbook and they just get it. Some people need to watch some videos. Some people need, you know, some more hands-on and, you know, those kind of things. So I think as parents, we just have to just try our best to figure out, you know, what your children need and try to get them, you know, the get them what you can, right? I mean,
yeah,
if you have the ability to do it, then do it. But obviously, you know, there's a lot of different circumstances out there, right? So, you know, it's not always the case, but I mean, yeah.
For sure. And, you know, it's funny because like just recently I was reading this, it's this thing on like a principal in Singapore that wrote a letter to the parents out there. And, you know, Singapore, it's an Asian country, very heavily parents, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm just like stereotyping out, but I guess over there it's similar vein, the whole Asian studying and all that type of thing. But the principal of this school actually wrote a letter to the parents, and it, when we were talking about this, it just popped up in my head and I just searched for it and I found it right here. And I'm going to read this letter out. It's not a long letter, but I think it's a good one. And it's telling the parents to basically, you know, take a step back. Don't go too hard. you know, on the kids there, because not everybody is good at math or something like that. You have different people with different personalities and different learning abilities that want to be something else, right? So like this letter starts with, you know, dear parents, the exams of your children are to start soon. I know you are all really anxious for your child to do well, but please do remember, amongst the students who will be sitting for the exams, there is an artist who doesn't need to understand math. There is an entrepreneur who doesn't care about history or English literature. There is a musician whose chemistry marks won't matter. There's an athlete whose physical fitness is more important than physics. If your child does get top marks, that's great. But if he or she doesn't, please don't take away their self-confidence and dignity from them. Tell them it's okay. It's just an exam. They're cut out for much bigger things in life. Tell them no matter what they score, you love them and you will not judge them. Please do this. And when you do, watch your children conquer the world. One exam or a low mark won't take away their dreams and talent. And please do not think that doctors and engineers are the only happy people in the world. So I think that was a really... Now, it's an old letter based on this. From what I see, it was like a while ago, but it's an oldie, but it's a goodie. And it just popped into my mind because I was reading it the other day just by happenstance. And I thought that this letter is a good way to kind of help debunk, I guess, that whole model minority thing that's being placed upon a lot of Asians in society, you know?
Yeah. I think you bring up a good point in the sense that, you know, like even you saying that, you know, if you're a doctor or an engineer, you know, that doesn't mean that they're happy, right? And I think that's that's a very big key point is that, yeah, you could be a doctor or an engineer or a lawyer, but that doesn't mean you're happy. And I've known a lot of people, you know, that went through engineering and at the end of the day, they never took it. You know, they decided that wasn't for them, right? So they spent four or five years, right, trying to get the degree. And then I think they came out for a year in the workforce, but they realized this is not for me. Like, I just can't see myself doing this. And good for them for making the switch into a profession that they enjoy. Because there are some people that are still doing it and just going, I hate this job. You know, it's coming every day to day, and it's just not, you know, it doesn't spark joy, right?
Exactly. That just makes mentally you're more depressed. They only did it probably because their parents made them. You're like, okay, you're going to be in this. They're like, okay, I'm going to go and do all the courses, graduate as this. And then they hate their job. I mean, maybe they make good money, but if you hate your job and it's the thing that you do, you spend the most of your time doing, it's going to affect you mentally. You're going to be depressed, or you're going to be sad, or maybe angry, and other people are going to see this, and it's not healthy for you, right? So I think it's important that you do what you want to do. But, and I understand there's a lot of stress involved with the parents, but I think it might be a conversation that you do have to have with your parents too. Luckily, I didn't need to have that because they gave up on me already. My parents were like, this guy? Nah. At a young age. What they did, it was okay. You know what I'm saying?
Well, speaking when you were asking if I saw anyone in school with pressure, I have seen people, like I know two of my friends went to law school. One of them actually, she hated it so much, and I only heard this through my mom, through the mom vine, whatever, that she quit her job and then she became a writer. She just completely changed. And then another person, I know she's still a lawyer, but it stresses her out, like, seriously, you know. And they're like, they're just like, should I continue, you know? So I mean, I don't think that's they don't like it, but there's just like a lot. I mean, aside, any job has politics and so on, but like it's just a lot of pressure. So, and I think they did it partially. I don't never ask them if it was something that their parents told them or they were just interested. Like, I'm not sure, but definitely that feeling of hating your job, right? Like, and honestly, if you even don't mind your job. Like, as I get older, I'm like, you don't have to be passionate and love your job all the time, because that's just unrealistic. Let's be real, right? You know? Yeah. But, like, if you really like most of it, I mean, honestly, and that you can kind of, and it fits what your values are and sort of your trajectory, then yeah, that's great. But there's so many people that I know that just, oh, they just don't want to go to their job. They just like, they only do it because, you know, they can't take time off to retrain or start another career. Like, not everyone has that option, right, to do this. But anyways, yeah. So
yeah, that's definitely true. But I want to cycle back. I was reading an article about the model minority, and you know, they were talking about how you know, some people are used, you know, basically kind of having Asians as the model minority, using that as a segregation to other minorities, right? And I wanted to get you guys' thoughts about what do you think about that? Because there's sometimes, you know, you kind of have that feeling as well, where, you know, we as Asians, you know, maybe compared to you know, African Americans, you know, they're like, oh, you guys got it easy compared to us. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that. What's your thoughts?
I mean, I just think that the model minority just pits us against other minorities, and it's just not good. And we should all be united instead. So, I mean, that's just my thoughts. I don't think it's, and I understand, like, because they know them about the model minority, and they come out at us and talk to us about it. But this is not a term that was invented by us. This was a term that was invented by, like, the Western influence. You know, they're the ones that started it and are trying to, and are doing this to us, to pit us, I guess, against each other. So, and we should all know that that is the, you know, that's the reason why that we should not be, you know, that's, I don't know what else to say. Like, it's just bad. We should not be pitted against each other on this, you know?
Yeah, I agree. On the flip side, though, with the, you know, us being in the minority model, the model part, right? Like, it kind of works to our advantage in some ways, right? You know, we get this really positive image. And I think it's harder for us to, like, realize that we really shouldn't be accepting of this model, even though it seems to favor us, right? So I think us realizing what you're saying, how it pits us against other groups, really, we have to examine the root of it, not just the optics of, okay, well, of course we're good workers. Of course, you know, like, you know, they might hire us over whoever because we are deemed hardworking or whatever. I mean, other people are hardworking. It doesn't matter what color you are. There are busy people. There are hardworking people. You know, there's all the spectrum, right? So yeah, I agree. Like, but it's so systemic, right? Like, how do you address this? It's just like, so it's an unconscious bias too that you may not even be aware that you have. So how do you bring this out? So there's just a lot of work to be done, right? It's just not, okay, we're just going to change our mind? No. Unfortunately, I wish it was that easy. Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of factors at play here.
Yeah. It was really interesting because the article had said, you know, like they were taking Black people, right, and saying, well, look, hey, guys, look, these Asians, they had nothing. They came over here, you know, they were in concentration camps, and now look at them. They're striving in the society. And so by them using that against, you know, using that model minority towards them, it's just unfair, right? We don't understand what they have been through, you know, and we're, again, talking about the systematic, this, okay, I gotta say that word. You know what I'm saying? There we go. It doesn't play in their favor, right? Whereas the model minority, we have some of those advantages, right? As we talk about, you know, what is it? you know, the privileges that, that white people have, you know, that, that, you know, some minorities don't have. And we don't see that, right? Is that some of these advantages we have, as well as being the model minority, we have some advantage over that. So for us to, you know, really see that and also be aware of that, you know, that can help in opening up at least the conversation so that we're, you know, everyone can see the bigger picture, not just be like, hey, look, you know, if we can do it, you can do it. And it's not always the case, right? And I think that's an important factor to kind of realize, right? Whereas maybe we do have it a little bit luckier than some of our peers, right? So I think that that's something that is definitely interesting and to be mindful about.
Do you think it ever like backfires on us on the other side? So say if we decide to ever apply for social welfare or something like that, and then they look at us and they're like, well, you shouldn't need it. You guys are all smart and stuff like that. You'll find your way. You'll do good. And you're like, do you think it ever backfires on the other side? Most likely.
I think so. I mean, there are Chinese people that are poor, right? Like, yes. Not everyone is middle class or upper class, right? There's definitely that's where that you're brushing everyone with the same stroke,
exactly.
Right? And just saying, well, they're all smart, they're all middle class. No, they're not. There's people who they're struggling to make, you know, put food on the table, like to make a living, right? Because they don't have the privileges of going to school. School costs money. Not everyone has the, you know, time or money to invest in that, or, you know, they may not have the social capital, so to speak, right? You know, like that they know certain people to get hired, right? You know, networking, mm-hmm. and so on. So it does backfires as you mentioned. So definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, Florence, I just want to say, you know, thank you again for coming on the show, kind of sharing your experience and your story on model minority and, you know, your experiences growing up with experiencing this stereotype. And, you know, we'll be sure to link your article when we post out the episode as well. We might put it on Instagram when we do the post as well too, just so that our viewers can click on it and read your story through it, because I think it's an important story. And I think that it's a story that a lot of us have experienced in one form or another growing up. I know I have, for sure. I mean, for sure I have. And Lance, probably, but you know, you were straight A student regardless. So
I definitely was a straight A. I'll be honest. No, I was not a straight A. I was, I gotta say, I was probably doing really well. I really resonate with you being in, when I was in school, I was just, I was quiet. I was an introvert. I was scared of people. You know, it was the same kind of feeling. You knew the answer, but you're like, I'm not sure. Should I say something? And half the time, other people would answer and it would be the right answer. But, you know, I was just super scared. But I did pretty well up until junior high, and then I went backwards. It was like, went from honor student to, you know, a student
to
Fs. Like I was bad. It was a bad time for me. But that just goes to say that, you know, like, I think if anything to take out from this episode is that, you know, you can't paint everybody as just one picture, right? Everybody goes through different problems. And that's the thing, you know, I was an A student now, and then I didn't do so well. But that's because of the circumstances and the experiences that I went through. And so, you know, everybody is like that, right? And we're not just, you know, just head down studying and doing this. We have our own lives, right? And everybody does as well. So that's definitely my takeaway from this episode, is that, you know, just we can't paint everybody. And looking at this model minority, again, thinking about it, we're not all good at math. So, you know, for listeners out there, if you're looking at other, you know, people that, you know, sometimes we have that, like you were saying, that that unconscious biasism, right?
Unconscious
biasism, right? So
unconscious bias.
Bias, sorry. But sorry.
Okay.
But yeah, no. That is what I would take out of this episode. So yeah, again, thank you again for coming on to to our podcast and sharing your experience with our listeners. And I think it's definitely helpful. And I'm glad. I think the other key thing is that, you know, we often watch this a lot in the movies, talking about the model minority as how they portray us as well, right? It's always the geeky nerd. But I'm happy again, and we've talked about this on other episodes, but we're being able to play other roles, right? Like, who knows, right? Like, you don't see a lot of Asians playing a druggie, for example, right? But we could be. Right, we could be that kind of role. I'm not saying that you should be, but I'm just saying that there's a possibility that they would be that too, right? So, you know what I mean, right? I'm just saying that there's so many different roles that we could be playing. We're not just kung fu people or smart in math or anything like that. We can be other things, and we've seen that now on a lot of different movies, anyways. So.
Mm-hmm. We just gotta fail a couple more tests. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's so funny when you're saying so. Like when you're saying how the teacher asked you, probably, when a teacher, I literally didn't know the answer. I didn't want her to pick me because I literally did not know. I was like, "What is going on? Don't pick me because I am gonna say something else."
It's so odd, though.
Just to build.
Go ahead.
What's that?
Go ahead. Just to build on what you're talking about with Lance, you're mentioned. Oh no, I can't remember what you're. the stereotypes, right? You were talking about how we're still portrayed with the stereotypes, and there is starting to be. There's more representation in Asian people, you know, with actors. I don't know, Kim's Convenience, you know, Always Be My Maybe, but there's still a lot of tropes that we fall. It's a start, but I feel like we really. But we have to start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And the more that we are representative, the more we can actually share our stories and the nuanced differences, like just because we're so different, right? And just like not all, you know, African Canadians are the same, you know, that kind of thing. And Indigenous people, they don't all have the same story, you know. So I feel it's going to take time, and we just have to be patient and be persistent in making our voices heard and our stories to be heard, right? So that they realize, you know, like we're all human. Different stories. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's for sure. And for our listeners out there who also want to share their story on model minority, you can offthewalk.info@gmail.com. And yeah, make sure you follow on our Instagram at offthewalkpodcast. Sorry, I went podcast because I was thinking of the name but had podcast, but I was like, all right, Instagram offthewalkpodcast to make sure to check out our latest episodes. And yeah, so thank you, Florence. And until next time, come walk with us again.
Yep. Get those A's.